reading to you from the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and with the 58th verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 43, soon be 44 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. You know, I didn't want to be a preacher. Man, I had a good roofing business. Why would I want to give that up to preach? Well, God had a special plan for my life, just like he has a special plan for everyone who knows Christ as Savior. Nobody is unimportant in the Lord's work. Not anybody. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. Well, you can be a witness for the Lord. Every one of us has an important job, so don't hand me that stuff. Well, I don't have an education, or I'm too short, or I'm too tall, or I'm not good looking. The Lord knows what he's doing. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick your shoes off or your slippers off. Pour you a glass of iced tea. It might be a little cold tonight for iced tea. Maybe you better make that coffee. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. I thank you, dear Lord, for all the wonderful phone calls we've been receiving from our dear friends that we met in Acapulco. What a buildup. What a joy to hear from them. And Lord, how we love them. And we pray for them daily. Your healing hand will be upon them. And I pray, Lord, for Dr. Rogers and for all of his staff, people who are dedicated to helping others. Father, you know the needs of all of our really listening family. It could be physical, could be financial, could be spiritual. But whatever it is tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll reach down and wrap your arm of love around them and let them know that you care. And Lord, we know you care. And Father, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. Lift up Jesus. Honor your word. And precious Lord, save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts, and this would be the 20th verse, and let's begin reading with the 22nd verse. Boy, am I messed up tonight. The 20th chapter of Acts and the 22nd verse. Now we got it. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in ministry, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then he thus spoke, and when he thus spoke, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. Boy, you know, friends, it wasn't too many years before that this Paul that we're speaking about tonight was a scallywag. He was a religious bigot. He thought that his job from Almighty God was to go out and destroy the Christians, destroy the church, and destroy all the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't happen, though, did it? One day, in fact of matters, he saw Stephen stoned to death while he held his coat. Now, here's the next scene. He has got some papers from somebody, and he's down on the road to going down to get some more Christians to beat up and put in prison. And the great light appeared out of heaven, and God struck old Saul of Tarsus right to his knees, and there he spoke unto Saul, and he said, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest me? You know, friends, the Lord knew when Saul was out hurting people, he was doing it in ignorance, and he knew that Saul was a very special man, just like he knows that you're a very special man or woman. Even while you were in your mother's womb, the Lord had something for your life. First of all, he wants you to accept Christ as Savior. He wants you to repent of your sins and come to him as a little child. Excuse me, boy, oh boy, boy. You see, when I was an alcoholic, I knew, because my parents both died when I was young, but they were Christians, and I knew that there was a God. My stars in the morning, why? Folks, I wouldn't have went to bed without asking the Lord to bless my mom and my dad and my sisters and my brothers and my dog and my horse. I wouldn't have thought of not, I couldn't done it. But you know, when my mom died, it began to put a question mark in my face, because she told me, pray believing and we should receive. And when she had that stroke, and she was just a young woman when she had that stroke, I did pray believing. I got down on my little old 13-year-old knees out behind that old elm tree, and I prayed, and I prayed, but she died. And then I began to doubt. See, folks, that's what Satan does to people today. You might not be a Christian. You might be a church member, and you might be trying to do good things and all this and that, and you think, well, maybe that'll get me to heaven. Dear friends, that won't get you into heaven being good. in Ephesians 2:8-9 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." See, if when I stood before the Lord and he said, "Well, how'd you get in here?" Well, I said, "As a good man, I didn't beat my wife, kick my dog, paid my bills." No, that's not enough. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Nicodemus, the great religious leader that he was of the Jews, and he thought, "Well, I keep the law, I do this, I do that." But Jesus told Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, that's not it. You're not going to get to heaven that way. Ye must be born again." And, you know, I know there's a lot of people, good friends of mine, who believe just because they go to church, they're going to heaven. Now, my wife went to Sunday school and she went to church, but she was no Christian. That's like me, someone saying, "Well, Mr. Clinton carries a Bible to church." Well, that don't make him a Christian. Doesn't make anybody a Christian just carries his Bible to church. I could have an airplane out here in my garage, but that doesn't make me a pilot, does it? No, not of course. Anyway, when Saul got converted to Christ, believe you me, he began to see something. And he went to work for the Lord. I don't know how in the Samtar those disciples of old got the gospel out. They didn't have TV, didn't have radio, didn't have jets, didn't have trains. All they had was donkey power and some boats. And that's the way they went about telling the world about Christ. I'm so glad that God put men like Paul and Peter and John and them like that ahead of us. Because, you see, Peter, I love him because I'm kind of like him. I'm impetuous. I'm stupid sometimes. And I put my foot in my mouth. I've done that before, too. And it really hurts. But anyway, so here we got old Paul, and he's had been preaching there, and now he's telling them at Ephesus that he was going to have to leave. Dear friends, I've told this story before, but it really goes along with what Paul had experienced. When my wife and I were in Sapporo, Japan, and I was preaching a revival over there in a church, we were there for 7 days, and then the last day of the revival, there were seven evangelists went over there and their wives, and so we met in this first church there in downtown Sapporo. It's a great, great big church, and I would say maybe there was maybe 25 Americans there, and the rest were Japanese. And we stood up together and we sang, "Now I Belong to Jesus." They sang in Japanese and we sang in English, but it was the most beautiful thing. I tell you, I couldn't believe it. Well, three of the young ladies that were saved in our meeting wanted to share their testimony, and so I let them. And they just brought tears to my eyes. Here's what they said. They said, "We want to thank all of you dear preachers for bringing Jesus to Japan." No, we didn't bring Jesus to Japan. We'd brought the message to Japan. Now, when we got ready to leave that night, I told my wife, I said, "Now, these people, you have to bow to them, and you know, you don't want to hug them because they don't do that." That's what I said. And friends, when we got ready to leave that night, those men and those women and those young people come over and threw their arms around us, my wife and I, and they hugged us and they cried. We cried, and the other evangelists, they experienced the same thing. And boy, I thought we never would get out of that church. We went back to our hotel, and we got up real early the next morning to pack our equipment to go to the airport. And would you believe it? That whole entourage was there at the hotel. They got in their cars and they followed us quite a ways from downtown Sapporo to the international airport. They followed us out there, and then when we got over to check our luggage, they come over and they threw their arms around us and they hugged us and they cried and we cried. And the plane was a half hour getting off because we couldn't get the people to leave us. So you see, we meant something to them, and oh boy, how they meant something to us. How we learned to love those people. It's just like I've said in a broadcast before, and you've heard me say it many times. When we went down to Acapulco, I didn't know who we were going to meet down there. But we met the most precious people I've ever met, most precious Christians I've ever met. I'm serious. We had such a wonderful fellowship and a wonderful time. See, we sat in those dumb old chairs for sometimes 4 and 5 hours doing our intravenous feedings. So we had a chance to visit and talk about the Lord and talk about the things. And I had the privilege of preaching twice there in our chapel service. And we sang songs together. And then on Thursday night, we'd all go down to Boca Boutique, and we'd have all of us from the clinic, we'd go down and have dinner together and had just a wonderful fellowship. Then on Sunday after church, we'd go downtown to one of the big restaurants and we'd eat together. I tell you, friends, that's the one thing that I've said all along. You remember me speaking about Bill Adlong, Kenneth Jackson, Tex Freeman. Those three men and I have met together for several years. For Friday, 11:30, we have lunch together. We talk about the Lord. We talk about the needs. We pray for each other. We pray for the needs that we have. Now, Bill and Tex, they go to the DRDC. They preach and sing at the women's prison, the DRDC. Well, sometimes Bill gets to go with me and my quartet and my wife and I down to Canyon Prison in Fremont. But the most of the time, that just the quartet, my wife and I, we go. Now, in fact, the matter is we're coming back tonight from an overnight trip to the prison down in Ordway. And the following week, following month, we go to the overnight trip to the prison in Los Animas. And then the next time, we go on a Friday out to the prison down in Canyon. But what a wonderful, wonderful time. Paul was one of these guys that wasn't afraid to call a spade a spade. What I'm saying, he was not afraid to preach the gospel. Beloved, I don't claim to be very smart, and you know I don't. But there's one thing I do. I try so desperately to bring people to the foot of the cross, because that's where everyone is going to have to be saved. The rich, the poor, the black, the white. It doesn't make a difference what your status is. We all have to meet at the cross, because there's where Jesus went to the cross between two thieves, laid down his life. No, they never took it. He laid down his precious life. He was sinless. And yet, beloved, he took your sins. He took my sins upon him, that he might pay for our redemption, so that God can write our name in the Lamb Book of Life. And friends, someday, that day is coming we don't know when. No one knows when. But we know we are going to have to make that trip. And if you know Jesus, you don't have to be afraid. Remember what the thief on the cross said to Jesus? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, from this very day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And you know what? He didn't get a chance to be baptized. He didn't have an opportunity to join a church. He didn't have a chance to take a Lord's Supper. He died on that cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus never lied. He took him right from there all into glory. And that's what's going to happen to if we die before the rapture comes, beloved. Then we shall immediately be ushered into glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. Where, listen to me, where there's not going to be any more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache, no more disappointments. Oh, friends, those dear ones that I met in Acapulco, many of them have cancer, many of them have several things wrong with them, heart and Epstein-Barr infection. Some of them had diabetes, some had this and that, and a lot of them went down there in terrible pain. I mean, this one particular lady I remember, Belinda and Anne, they look terrible. They look white as snow. And she just about couldn't get off the plane to get over to the clinic. And I'm telling you now, dear friend, she took those treatments for 3 weeks. Now she's driving her own car. She was almost completely housebound for a couple of years, I guess. I've called every one of them. I called my preacher friend, old Max, down in Texas. He had a bad heart, had to be in a wheelchair. He's doing real good. Oh, we're not perfect. Oh, no. But we're healing. And we're getting better. The other day I slipped on the ice twice, and of course that messed up my legs. But I'll tell you, friends, I'm so glad that there's men like Dr. Rogers who stands against those. See, the pharmaceutical companies don't want him to be in America because he's doing something for somebody else and they're not getting their cut. Now, we know that that medicine helped us. Every one of us will testify to that fact. And there's 2 or 3 books down there that they read, that people wrote testimonies in, that they had found healing down at Acapulco. You know, friends, it was awfully hard to say goodbye to them down there. I recall the night before we left, our friends from Alabama, they left. And the next morning, it was so lonesome in that place without them. And then we left, and Ann and her husband, they had to stay, and it was hard for them. It's hard to say goodbye to people that you love. But, beloved, listen to me. We Christians don't say goodbye. We say later, just a little later. Ben said, if I don't see you here, I'll see you on the way up, or I'll see you in glory. That's why, dear friends, after I accepted Christ, that I wanted so desperately to witness to my 2 brothers who were not Christians. They had everything in the world. Money, millionaire, one of them was a millionaire, but they didn't have Christ. And without him, you don't have anything. But Paul never backed down. He fought those religionists, boy. You know the worst thing in the world is religionists. By the way, have you been reading about our cult here in Denver? They went to Jerusalem and they were going to shoot up some people with guns so that they could hurry up the second coming of Christ. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe they've ever opened the Bible. They call them concerned Christians. Beloved, they're not Christians. And they give Christianity a bad taste. You know, before I was saved, I remember there was a lady in our neighborhood who was a professing Christian. But I tell you, she was the biggest hypocrite I ever knew in my life. I used to say to my mom, well, boy, if she's a Christian, there's no hope for anybody else. My mom said, but Cecil, you have to answer to God for your own sins, not for somebody else's sin. And I told a guy one day, talking about the hypocrites, the church, and that, I said, if a hypocrite is standing between you and God, he's closer to God than you are. That's right. Don't look at people and judge them. Look at your own heart and see where you stand. You know what Paul did when he was running out of money? He went and made tents, and he helped support the people that was working with him. He wasn't lazy. Man alive. You know, friends, I've been preaching now for 33 years, 32 years, I guess, 32 and a half, and I've always had to work and support myself. And I've had preachers say, well, you know, a workman's worth is higher. I said, yeah, I know that. But if I don't work, I don't get to preach. I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. And there's so many wonderful evangelists today who have left the ministry because they couldn't support their families. And you know what? The Bible said, if you don't supply the needs of your own, you're worse than an infidel. Well, Paul had worked hard with those men and women, and now he was getting ready to leave. And he said, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. When I left my ship 55 years ago in Harbor, Oakland, California, I could not go down and tell my shipmates goodbye, so I snuck off And I went uptown in San Francisco the next day, two days, I was going to catch a plane or a train to go to Bremerton, Washington to get my discharge. And I was walking down the street in Market Street in San Francisco, and I hollered, the guys hollered, "Hey, Mo!" And I turned around, and here were six of my radioman buddies, and they said, "Why didn't you come by and say goodbye?" I said, "Because I hate goodbyes. I always get sad." Well, we had a good time anyway, but no, it's hard to say goodbye. You know it is, and the man that led me to Christ, Brethren Tom Baird, when he passed away, they had me fly down to Roanoke to preach his funeral. And I'll tell you, my dear friends, there is the first time that I've ever seen a body lying in a casket with a smile from ear to ear. Oh, what a preacher he was. One of the greatest preachers. You know, the morning I went to his home and he led me to Christ, he didn't say, "You no good drunk. You come join my church. You do this, that." He kept telling me, "Cecil, God loves you." And that's what I'm telling you tonight, dear friends. God loves you with an everlasting love. Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, you might be having some real problems tonight. I don't know what kind of problems you have, but you might have some real serious problems. Maybe you've lost a loved one this past week, and you think, "Well, I can't go on." But you can go on. If you know Jesus, he'll comfort your heart. That's what God's Holy Spirit does. He comforts us, he convicts us, he leads us, he directs us, and he wants you to be happy. So tonight, if you don't know Christ, listen to me, friends. If you don't know Christ, won't you do me a favor tonight? And if God's Holy Spirit has tugged at your heart, I want you to bow your head with me right now, would you? And oh, beloved, don't pray this unless you really mean it. And this is how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for all the people I've hurt. I'm sorry that I hurt you and some of the terrible things that I've done. I confess them tonight. And I pray, Lord, the best way I know how, that I'm going to open my heart right now and receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dear friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone, and I want you to call 303-840-2992. I will not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for money. I do not even have a mailing list. There are dear people who listen to this broadcast who send money once in a while to help us with our prison ministry, because it costs several hundred dollars a month for us to go and share the gospel. And we are not paid. We are volunteers, all of us. But I tell you, friends, I'd rather be a volunteer for Jesus and have nothing than be the richest man in the world and not have Christ. So tonight, if you trusted him, or you don't know how to trust him, you want to talk to me, just get on the phone. Call 303-840-2992. Beloved, I don't care where you go to church. That's not my main concern. My main concern is where you're going to spend eternity. So give me a call if I can help you, huh? God bless you.